I seek to direct your prayerful attention to the 9th chapter of Romans and reading the two verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The 14th verse is very much on my mind also tonight. For it says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. And how do we find these things in our own spirit? When we find a principle within that rises up against the truth of the gospel and rises up against the love of God. Men might say they want the love of God, but oh, they resist the love of God being given to others. Why should they receive the love of God when we know what they have been and what they are given to? Or how there is rebuke is spoken here, yet comfort and encouragement to those who by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit touched, oh, I say, with the power of that condemnation and given to them that power of regeneration, beginning again within us, working by his Holy Spirit. For we read, in those days he'll take away the heart of stone and give to us a heart of flesh. What a searching question it is for both speaker and hearer alike here tonight. And what has the Lord done for you and I? Has he taken away the stone of heart? Has he given to us a heart of flesh, leading us in a completely different way, a different direction? For surely this is the work of grace, is it not, when he begins in us and causes us to repent, where in bygone days we were totally ignorant of repentance. We wanted our own way. We were determined to dictate to God and tell him what we would do and what we wouldn't do. Inadvertently, this may be so within us. Who art thou, O man, that thou should speak unto God in such a way that thou replyest against God? Oh, it is better, is it not, to be silent rather than to reply against God. But if we are truly interested in these matters, listen, it will be a personal matter between me and my God, you and your God. There will be that constant cry, will there not prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face? Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And so the apostle here, it makes it very clear of the sovereignty of God in calling people unto himself, quickening them by his Spirit. So he reminds the Jews of their forebears and how the Lord has spoken both to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, how much they had to learn. And so we too. And there he declares, does he not, as he speaks to Rebecca concerning those two sons. They were not just sons, but they were twins. And it was seen and known before they were even born, before they knew the difference between good and evil. Yes. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And if I say we are of the same matter and substance as poor Esau, we shall not indeed be interested in spiritual things, but rather be full of our self-importance, and thus be rebelling against God. But you know what? It seems to the carnal mind completely unreasonable. But you see, the carnal mind is faulty. The carnal mind and wisdom is as madness with God. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. I created man. I gave salvation to man. And what I have decreed, it shall come to pass. It doesn't rest, I say, with our decision, but a decision, I say, that was made before all eternity. Yes, in the wondrous covenant of his grace. Oh, I say, how then clear it is spoken of here. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So we find that that great company that the Lord brought out of Egypt in a wonderful way, that even many of those, they fell in the wilderness. Why? Because that fight and that spirit against Almighty God. I say, how many come so close to the truth? Yet as one of old said to Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. I say, how close and how near have we come to that point where we have become Christians? Almost. The carnal mind and the old flesh. It's amazing how close we can come. How often we can come, I say, in conversation, so accurate and so pure. Yet, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and it's quite able by nature to put on an open show. Oh, the truth is this, is it not? Oh, that God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy and compassion, on whom I will have compassion. I say, do we come before him this night, pleading for mercy? If we come, I say, this night, pleading for mercy, we come as poor and needy sinners, with the conviction of the Holy Spirit within us, showing us what we are and how far short we have come, and even our own pride of heart in what we've said in the past shall surely come about. But I say, what we said and done in the past, do we not stand before Almighty God and subject to his judgment and his hot displeasure? And yet I say, how the Lord can pull a poor sinner as a brand out of the burning. Have you ever been there? For indeed, God's terror, his law, lays hold upon you. Well, it is a light, it's working, it's effective. Oh, I say, who can save me now? Who can put his hand in and save me as a brand from the burning? None other than Almighty God. Friend, this deep conviction of sin is not the work of man, it's not of the ability of the preacher, but it is by the compassion and the mercy of God. But when we come to that cry before the Almighty, God be merciful to be a sinner. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, I like those words. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You say, well, it's too late then. It's too late then. Friend, God is never, never late in his works and ways. And those whom he has loved from all eternity, he will surely save. And he will not spare any to fall into the depths of hell. He'll save all, I say, from the flames of Tophet. He'll bring all, I say, as repentant sinners to his feet, acknowledging this, that by Jesus Christ, his precious blood, am I saved. He is my only resting place. He is my only foundation. He alone can cleanse and purge away all my sin. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That soul who thinks that they are so successful in prayer and have been so fervent in prayer that they force the hand of the Almighty to hearken them to them and for him to do the will. I say, how different it is from that of a child of God who comes before him guilty and condemned by the conviction of sin in his own heart. Feeling he's come to the end of all things, been brought down to bedrock bottom, my friends. It is that poor soul that needs compassion. Yes, oh, hast thou ever sung with a fervent spirit, compassion have up upon us, Lord, and send us not empty away. Compassion to fill us, oh, to fill us with that which is good, to fill us that which is real, oh, to fill us to overflowing, oh, with his love and mercy. Friend, he said, I will have compassion. Therefore then he doesn't look down upon us as somebody who is able and indeed is worthy of compassion, but rather compassion looking down upon the sinner, but nothing but his love and mercy will save this poor soul from despair. He'll have compassion, friends. He lifts that poor sinner up. He lifts him up and has compassion upon him. He doesn't ridicule. He doesn't indeed beat him. He doesn't indeed make him feel so uncomfortable that he'll say, I should be glad to get out of his presence. No, friends, compassion. It brings that poor sinner closer and closer to him. It will cause him to pray both night and day. Lord, though I'm so unworthy, have compassion upon me. By working with thy almighty power, that we might prove and know that all things work together for good. As it speaks in the previous chapter, I can't alight upon it now, but it runs like this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Does that put a bar against you coming to the throne of grace? But does it rather bring you with confession to him, and with confession are brought to praise his great and holy name? Thou hast done this for me, Lord, but not because I deserve it, but thou hast done this for me, Lord, that thou might have mercy upon me, that I may be surely delivered. Oh, compassion. And the Lord will have compassion. Yes, how many times. How the Lord Jesus Christ reminded the scribes and Pharisees of God's compassion in the days of that dreadful famine of all the widows that were of Israel, that such a woman as she was, the Lord had compassion upon. It must say to them, your religion would have shut her out. Does our religion shut anybody out? But my friend, I believe this. True religion will shut the poor sinner in. And as he said to Elijah, the barrel of meal will not waste, or the clothes will fail. He didn't give them a full barrel of meal to get on with, and a large cruse of oil, but he had compassion upon them, friends. But they came to the same spot day by day to look upon his faithfulness and upon his mercy. He had compassion upon them in keeping them close to him. Are we murmuring? Are we complaining at our Lord when he's had compassion to us and tethers us to the throne of grace, brings us closer and nearer to him? And as the day fast approaches, time floating away, that we should be brought before the throne of God, yea, as all men will, to be separated the sheep from the goats. I say, what compassion that will be, that will never drive that poor coming soul away. No, this soul, the advocate will declare, I've paid the redemption for this sinner, yea, and therefore they are mine. There's no spot within them. They're clean, perfectly clean. They're washed through the precious blood of Christ. Good Peter, you know, in the first chapter, I think, is of his epistles, is it kept by the power of God through faith? Have we not sometimes heard, have we not sometimes read of some fact concerning those we've known who stumbled and fallen? Others might be congratulating themselves if they've done better than that, but we've had to slink away in silence and praise his great and holy name, that we've been kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. What a theme, unto salvation. And what will that salvation be? Why, when we shall be said, Amen, forever with the Lord. Amen, so let it be. Why, a completely changed and renewed heart. And oh, we here below, the same Spirit declares, like the hymn writer, Begone unbelief. My Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. Oh, he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Just a quick thought here on this point again, remembering and considering Moses' position, whom he got to go to Pharaoh, been told of the Lord to go and tell Pharaoh God's position with his people in Egypt, knowing full well that in that man's heart there'll be no change, no softening, but only determination to make them work harder and harder. Friends, some would say useless. and you stay in great danger yourself to be put to death by the same cruel hand. Friend, none will be put to death before the time that is allotted him, and therefore he'll have to, like Moses, continue to the end of that mission and beyond. My friend, how true it is, our times are in his hand. There have been times when I can say, oh, what a favoured spot that is to feel that our times are in his hand. I shall not forget the surgeon coming to me before a major operation. He said, look, he said, your state and condition is very weak and very poor. And there's less than 40% chance that you come through this operation. And most likely you'll never walk again. Friends, I couldn't say anything to him, but there was a peace and a quietness which is contrary to my nature. All I could say was yes. Oh, I say, a mercy to be in his hands. It is indeed good to lay pleasant, lay carefully in his hands, and know no will but his. Yes, to know indeed his will shall and will be done. As the Lord might help me, I come to the next verse, which is so close to it. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. This may seem so contrary to some, but not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth. Undoubtedly many will will to go forth and run. They run in what strength they have, but they do not run in the strength of Almighty God. They go, I say, in the opposite way to which David went. The armour of Saul was offered him. He had never known such an armour before, and he had never known such a weapon before. But he put it on, and it didn't fit him in heart. He just felt he couldn't go with it. The Lord was not smiling upon it. But he'd go, I say, as he declared unto Goliath, I've come to thee in the name of the Lord. So then, it was not of his own ability or ingenuity, I say, that he went forth. But I say, he's not him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. What a comfort that is to any poor soul whom the Lord is guiding and directing what to do. Oh, but of God that showeth mercy. This man, I say, this woman, I say, the Lord shows mercy upon. Only to prove that they are more than conquerors through him that had loved us, suffered, bled, and died for us. Oh, it is not him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. But I say, thou that willest, thou willingly put on the best armour and choose the best sword imaginable to man's way of thinking, only to prove him completely helpless and useless against the mighty power of God. I say, who had a better armour and had a better sword than Goliath? For in days to come, when David was in need of a sword, they said, "It's only the sword of Goliath here. He said, give it me, for there's nothing like it. Nothing like it." We know what he meant. My friend, he cut off the Goliath's head with it. It wasn't blunt, it worked. But what brought Goliath down, my friend? Yes, was the sword of the Spirit, as Paul speaks of it. And David relied upon his God. And those stones that we tread unto foot, one was used to hit Goliath in the forehead, and he fell. He fell, friends. With all the beautiful armour, with all the power of the sword he had, it did not prevail against David or against David's God. Let us remember that. Yes, it's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. He bringeth him under his care and under his protection. How often fresh ways open up before us. As good Leonard Broom used to say, through the force of circumstance, we could have no hand in it ourselves, but God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform, and there's no way round it or past it. It is the Lord's hand that is dealing with our matters for him. But is there a greater matter we want him to deal with us for? And that is to put his seal upon it, that we are his children. We are one of his elect, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. It's not because I willed it. It's not because I deserved it, or because I run in his way. But surely it is the very opposite. Yea, who came and met us and said, thus far and no further. The good hymn writer puts it like this: the appointed time rolled on apace, not to propose, but to call by grace. Can you make propositions to God concerning your soul's salvation? Can you say to him, if thou save my soul, I'll serve thee better all the days of my life? If thou add more days to my life, I won't sin any more. My friend, are some that think that. But when the Lord leads us and teaches us what we are by nature, oh, we know our absolute dependence upon him. And it's he, and he alone, that can save us. Excuse me a moment. So who then is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Does the Lord weaken us by the way, that we feel that we have no will? Oh, I say, how I remember going to the prayer meeting before I joined the church, and I feared, for some unknown reason of mine, that I'd be called on to pray. Oh, I felt so ill. I feared and trembled. I wrestled over the matter. I was sure it was Satan's work trying to stop me going to the prayer meeting. I got there late, and standing in the vestibule, I heard the pastor praying that he might, that the Lord would send somebody in to engage in prayer with them that night. Oh, he's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth. But I say, his irresistible grace and love, it draws the poor sinner. And I was went in when he was still in prayer. He gave out a hymn, and then he said, no, we won't sing this hymn. But he asked me to give out a hymn and engage in prayer. Oh, friend, there were some who said afterwards, how well I got on. But no, friends, it comes in the bounds of this text. It's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Oh, I say, how we need to be careful of those who puff us up with big talk. I've heard of young men when I'm going to preach, and people will say, oh, but it was all right to start with, but they're now puffed up. Rather bluntly and crudely, I've answered, that may be so, but who puffed them up? How we need grace to speak to those who are young in the way, lest we should puff them up, and that they should think there's something which they are not. Now we need indeed to encourage young people too, and I'm not against that. But oh, to remember this word, it's not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but a God that showeth mercy. I should not forget going to a certain service, and it was Mr. Tyler, in actual fact, and he spoke to those who were exercised about the ministry. And I was amazed how many heads popped up and comparatively pleased themselves. But this poor sinner, I could not lift my head up. I didn't want anybody to see me or look at me. Oh, friends, it's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, that goeth into the ministry, but it's him the Lord has mercy upon and sends, yea, him with his word to guide him and direct him in the right way. Oh, I say, there's so much to this text that comes into our worship and our practice and behaviour in the Church of God today. Friends, I feel most honestly that we've needed, and sadly we've greatly departed from it. Yes, I'm not criticizing anybody or fitting caps on, but I feel sure of times the Lord is not smiling upon us. No, it is not. We say we live in a day of small things, but who really wants a day of better things? When the Word of God comes to you like a hammer and breaks your heart to pieces, who wants the Word of God presented to you like a sharp two-edged sword, separating the precious from the vile? Oh, the precious from the vile. Jesus is precious. Vile is the poor man, the poor sinner. But I say his word, it will separate the precious from the vile. There may be one here this night feeling that they are vile. And the Word of God, you say, will there be anything left? My friend, what is precious is his blessed word and the power thereof that he has laid in your heart, wherein now you become nothing and Jesus becomes all in all. I must leave it here. But may the Lord add his blessing to these words, not for my sake, not for your sake, but for his great name's sake. Amen.
Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure and erring light, on thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright, my soul to thee alone I therefore now commend, since Jesus, having loved his own, will love them to the end. Hymn number 1059.
Amen.
take us now into thy hands and keep us. Take us into thy hands, O Lord. Let's all breathe prayer and light and love to thee day by day. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit to be with us now and forevermore.